Well, let's just pray one more time. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful church and this group of people that love you and are here tonight for that reason only, because they love you. And we just adore you tonight. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, I've been studying and preparing for days, and I've got notes on a page here and things before me and thoughts in my mind. And Father, but I pray right now the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come and make this present tense in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just, Lord Jesus, you said when you were on this earth that your message didn't come from you. It came down from the Father. And we pray right now that your message would come down from you, Father God, to your people. And I do yield myself to you, Lord. I yield my thoughts to you. I yield my mouth to you. I just offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. And I pray you'd speak to your people. And Lord, I just have a desire in my heart tonight. Lord, I have a desire to be just a true Barnabas, a son of encouragement. And I pray that you would encourage your people tonight in the name of Jesus. And I know, Lord, despite whatever my shortcomings are or my fumblings or how I present this message, I thank you, Lord, your word will encourage our hearts and lift us up and build us up spiritually. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I have to say again, I just can't say it enough. This worship team is just so amazing. I usually have trouble before I'm preaching. It's hard for me to get into the worship because my wheels are turning about preaching. And I mean, if I'm not preaching, I just love the worship. But usually when I'm preaching, I'm kind of got my mind on that. But, oh, these guys just pull us into the presence of God so well. And what I wouldn't give to have them on my iPod so I could take them home with me. I've literally heard songs up here that I liked a couple times now already. And so Becky goes home, or we walk up to one of them and say, which song is that? And we get it off of iTunes, and I listen to my, and I'm trying to worship God with it. It's like, these guys are not as good as those guys. I'm so disappointed. It's like, oh, it's good, but it's not the same. But they really are just amazing. And so we be thankful for them. Well, if you have your Bible tonight and you want to turn in your Bible or in your device, your electronic device, however you want to do that deal, we will spend a lot of time tonight in Mark 13. Not a lot of verses, but we'll read some verses from Mark. Did I say Mark? I'm sorry, Matthew 13. I'm preaching this thing. I need to get it right. So Matthew 13, Matthew the 13th chapter. We're going to start in just verse 44. We're going to read a whole parable of Jesus in one verse. And then we're going to have a lot of other scriptures from other places in the Bible, and hopefully I get to all of them. And if I get in too big a, if I need to rush, I may just give you the reference and let you study them at home tomorrow for your quiet time. But I have a real simple message tonight for your heart, and I pray it'll encourage you. But we're going to start in verse 44. Oh, I forgot one thing. I told the girl, and she's already got it on 44. I'm sorry. Go back to the slides of, I wanted to say one more thing tonight before I take off preaching. We just never want to miss the opportunity to tell you how much we appreciate your love, your encouragement, your prayers, and your financial support for our ministry. And I have been traveling for 30-something years now in 24 countries of the world. And I can tell you, Grace Temple, back in the early days, was one of the very first churches who ever came on board to support us. And all these years in all these countries, this church's support has helped us go and tell lost people about Jesus. And I just really want to preach tonight, so I'm not going to tell a lot of stories. But I was just thinking of one during the prayer time earlier that, not a long story, just a real brief little thing. But a couple years ago, I was in Africa, and we had gone way, way, way out in the bush. And if you ever wonder, do missionaries get scared? Yes. And I was in Tanzania, but I was just a couple of kilometers from Rwanda. It was real close to that right there. And just a couple kilometers from Rwanda, from the Rwandan border. And we had driven on bumpy roads for a long time. And then we got off the bumpy road and we were just on like these trails. And then you see all those banana trees there. That just covers this area of Tanzania. That's their main staple of their diet. It's just mushed up banana. It's called Mutoki. And Mutoki is like yellow mashed potatoes with no flavor. And it tastes pretty boring. And anyway, after just 10 days, Becky just quit eating it. She was like, I'll just eat peanut butter crackers for 5 days more. So anyway, and we left the trail, and then we're just driving through those banana trees, just little trails. You think, you can't get a car in here, but where we were going through these banana trails, and just so far, you just go so far, and you feel like you're so far from civilization. And I was with this rather older pastor, and he was the only one there who really knew what was going on, and he was driving. He knew where the village we were going to was. And I was thinking, if this man happens to kick over and have a heart attack, I will never get out of here. Because it is so far back from where we came, and I have no idea where I am, and my Swahili is not very good. But anyway, but during that day, we were out there in those places, and there was a little girl, and she came to my mind during the prayer time, and I just wanted to tell you about her. There's this little girl, she was probably, I don't know, maybe 7, 8 years old, and her dress was just a tan-colored rag, and it was just hanging on her body, just holes. To say it was threadbare is ridiculous. I mean, it was just almost thread is all that was left. And I remember this circle of the people from the villages sitting around us, and that day her mama came to Jesus Christ and got saved. And we didn't lead the little girl to Jesus, but her mother got saved. And I was thinking of that little girl during the prayer time, and I was thinking, that little girl and that little filthy, dirty, she only had one dress, that filthy little threadbare dress is going to walk on Golden Street someday, I believe.
Amen.
Because churches like you understand that it takes money and prayers and encouragement to send people out. And so Amen. Never want to take the opportunity, never miss the opportunity to thank you for taking care of Becky and I. All right, back to Matthew. Chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." And when this is one of my favorite parables of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I'm a simple preacher. I'm not a hard, sometimes I have 3 points or all that kind of jazz. But, you know, I usually just have one. And that point tonight is this: treasure Jesus. Do you treasure Jesus? Do you know what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I say treasure him. And so tonight, that's my message, that simple concept. And I'm going to teach more than preach tonight, I think. But treasure Jesus. How many of you in here are in the kingdom of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a treasure. So if you are in the kingdom, you've already got a treasure. Something beyond any value you could ever put on it. You already have that. It's yours already. You have the treasure. And Jesus said here that the treasure, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when this man found it, a certain man found it, and he hid it again because he wanted to get that treasure and he wanted to obtain it the right way, legally. So he went and sold everything he owned. He said, "What that treasure in that field is worth more than everything I have accumulated in my entire life. I'm going to sell all of it so I can have that treasure." And it says he went in his joy, and he went and sold all he had, and he bought that field to get that treasure. And I think of how many people, Jesus didn't elaborate. He didn't tell us how the man found it. Maybe he was a common worker and maybe he was digging. I don't know. Maybe he just was walking by and something just caught his eye and he saw it. But he found the treasure. And I think of how many other people walked right by it. How many other people just never took the time to investigate and find out what was in that field. And how much like the kingdom of God that is too. How many people just walk right by it every day here in America? Particularly here in America, they have the opportunity. There's churches on every corner. Christian radio, Christian TV. It's not like that all over the world. But anyway, how many people miss it? They never find the treasure. They never see it. They never see the value. They wouldn't give anything up for it because they don't value this treasure. But when you see it, and don't we know, the treasure is Jesus. The treasure is Jesus. All the riches and treasures in the kingdom are in Him. And so I think often, and I mean here, this church in particular, every church here in this town and across the Bible Belt, across all of America, usually they're prominently located. Some are out in the country, but a lot of them are in cities and people drive right by. They never even think to go in there. Never occurs to them that what's in here is a treasure beyond all price and all value, and that they could have it if they just come in here and hear about Jesus. Now, of course, I go out and preach open air. I think, let's go tell them about the treasure out there. But how many people pass right by? And here, this is a storefront. There you got Dollar General right next door, and you got Bell's over there, or however you say the name of that store. I should know. My wife likes that place. Anyway, but how many people go to those stores, but they don't come in here? Because they don't know about the treasure. Tonight, that's what I want to talk about. And even in the new building, you know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but, you know, we can pray this prayer. Oh, God, go out and get them and bring them into that new building. And certainly the Holy Spirit will work and draw people in a way that could happen, that God could answer that prayer. But I find more often than not, He uses somebody. He uses a person to invite them most often. And so when we get the new building, when we move in there, when the carpet gets in there, and we all move in, and our hope is to fill it with more new unchurched lost people to find the treasure of Jesus, that truly they'll find the treasure in the field in that new, that, like Mark said, it's not about the carpet in the building. It's about having a place where we can preach the gospel and gather together and people can discover the treasure of Jesus. And so I just want to ask you, do you know right now, do you know how blessed you are already? Jesus said earlier in this same chapter in verses 16 and 17 of Matthew 13, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And He's not just talking about that your senses are functioning. He's talking specifically about hearing and seeing the Word of God. And He says in verse 17, for truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. In other words, those prophets long ago were longing to know more about what they were even, they were prophesying, but they just had a glimmery little picture. They didn't have all the details of the gospel. And yet, every single Sunday of your life, you can come in here and hear wonderful declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to read a scripture now from 1 Peter 1 that's very similar. And it's a little bit lengthy, and I'm not going to expound on the whole verse, this set of verses, but 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, I'm going to read those verses and then just talk about just a couple little parts of that. But it says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. And so we've seen these two verses here that say even the Old Testament prophets, they longed to know what you know. They long to have that big picture of what this book is all about. They long to know what the gospel was all about. And now we do know what the gospel is all about. We've got it. And he said, it just blows my mind that it says, even angels long to look into this thing. And yet we can look into it anytime we want, can't we? Not just that, you can go get it on tape. You can hear Mark preach it, and then you can go out there and get the CD, and you can listen to it in your car, or you can listen to it over and over. You can hear it over and over, and they long just one time, if I could just get it one time. The treasure is Jesus and his kingdom and these angels. It says here about those prophets, it says they searched intently. They searched intently with greatest care. You know, Jesus said, whoever asks, receives. Amen. Whoever seeks, they're the ones that are going to find it. And those who knock, the door will be open. But I mean, let's be honest, folks. Sometimes we get a little tired, don't we? We get worn out in the seeking, the asking, and the knocking. We lose heart. Sometimes we become weary. Now, I don't know about you, but I eat every day. 3 times a day, at least, sometimes more. Why do I eat every day? Well, didn't you eat yesterday? Yeah, I did, but I'm hungry today. And we need to be hungry every day for the treasure of the kingdom of God. That keeps us seeking, keeps us asking, keeps us knocking. It keeps us doing like these prophets, searching intently for the kingdom and all the treasure. Now, usually a treasure is something that is, you know, it's a treasure. It's a collection of wonderful things, be it, you know, gold coins or precious jewels or something. But it's a collection of things. And it may not be all in one place. Or when you think of a gold mine or a silver mine or something where they're trying to extract precious metal, they have to dig and dig and dig and dig. And we have to keep digging. Amen? Amen. We can't become weary in that process. Now, here's what keeps me going. It's a treasure. Jesus and his kingdom and the things of a kingdom are a treasure. And when you see that, it keeps you looking intently like these prophets. And so blessed are your eyes because they hear the word of God. And you know, what you have, what you already have. I mean, let me just ask you, what you already have is worth more than all the money Bill Gates has. And matter of fact, it's worth than all the money in the world. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? And I'm so thankful that my soul has been saved and redeemed by God. I never get over that he forgave a sinner like me and that I'm not going to burn in hell. I'm not going to be found guilty on judgment day. I'm going to be found righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Because when I was a mixed up 17-year-old teenager, I heard the words of eternal life from our preacher. I heard those words about forgiveness. I heard those words about the cross of Jesus. And I knew this is a treasure. And I want it. I want it. And so I'm thankful that Jesus said, what would a man give in exchange? People see all kinds of things as a treasure more than they do the kingdom. They're missing it. They don't know. And it's for us to tell them the difference. But, you know, I think of pop stars and you know, the icons of pop culture and movie stars and media giants and all the people who make all the money and seem to have all the influence. And I'm telling you that what I've got is greater than all of what they've got put together. I've got Jesus. I've got the kingdom of God. I've got the word of God. What a treasure. What a treasure it is. You know, literally millions of people, probably billions of people, they look up to people who are movie stars and cultural icons. And I'm not going to name, well, I'm going to name some names here in a moment. But, I mean, they just look up to those people. And they so many people feel in their heart and think in their mind, oh, if I could just be them, I would be happy. If I just had Brad Pitt's looks and his money, if I just had that fame, if I just had people clapping for me and if I just had that adulation, I could be happy. If I just had what those Hollywood stars had, if I just had what those rock stars had, and so people look to them and they dress like them and they act like them and they want to be them. Not me, because I found the treasure in the field. His name is Jesus, and His word is worth more than what all those people have put together. And I just want to ask a real simple question tonight. Do you really think those people are happy? Just that basic question. You really think they're happy? Well, I could spend too much time on this. I'm going to try not to, but I just found some quotes this week on that subject. They're not happy. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. These are their words. Harrison Ford, the most successful actor in the history of all of Hollywood as far as the gross income from his movies. More than $2 billion people have paid to go see Harrison Ford in a movie. The most successful actor in history. He was doing a magazine interview and the magazine, and he said, "You only want what you ain't got." And the magazine, the interviewer was just incredulous. He said, this was a few years ago when he was not quite as old and he was really the top of the top. And the magazine interviewer was just incredulous. He said, "You're Harrison Ford. What ain't you got?" You know what he said? "I ain't got peace." And I have to say, I heard that quote maybe 10 years ago, and I've been praying for Harrison Ford ever since then. I don't pray for a lot of movie stars, but I do pray for him. God, please give this man peace. Send workers. Lord, send workers to tell him about Jesus so he can know. I'm Ken Dornicker. I've never made any movies. But I've got peace. I've got something he doesn't have, even though everybody thinks he's such a big, rich guy. How about Madonna? Madonna was asking another interview, "Are you a happy person?" And she replied, "No, I'm a tormented person. I have a lot of demons I'm wrestling with, but I want to be happy." We've got something Madonna doesn't have yet. We need to pray for her. Media mogul Ted Turner started CNN, one of the wealthiest men on the whole planet. He until very recently, he had more land than anybody else in all of America. He recently got surpassed by somebody. But he has these vast amounts of land, and he owns a sports team, and he's so fabulously rich. And he was asked a similar question, and he said, "Life is like a bad movie. You don't really want to walk out in the middle, but you don't want to see it again either." This is from a man who's just dripping with wealth and fame. Actor Nicolas Cage said this. He said, "I wonder if there's a hole in the soul of my generation. We've inherited the American dream, but where do we take it? It's not about cars and wealth." Jonathan David from the rock band Korn was on MTV, and he was literally kissing a bottle of Prozac, which is a depression medicine. He was kissing a bottle of Prozac on MTV, and he said, "This is my best friend. I don't know true happiness. I'm not a happy person. I play like it. I act like it a lot. But inside, actually, I'm not really happy." Another Hollywood celebrity said, "I found that I couldn't shove enough drugs, women, cars, stereos, houses, and stardom in there to make myself feel good. I guess that's why so many people overdose. They get to the point where the hole is so big, they just die." Now, these are the cream of the crop in our society as far as people looking up to these people. And when I read the turmoil inside of their souls. And I think, I wake up every morning, Jesus with a song in my heart. I can't sing as good as the worship team, but it's there. And especially you sang one of my favorites tonight, Oh, Happy Day. How many times I'm out in my backyard in the morning singing that, Oh, Happy Day, yes. The day Jesus took my sins away. Oh, what a treasure to have your sins forgiven and to know it. So many treasures in the kingdom. Do you have a Bible? How many of you raise your hand if you got a Bible at home? How many of you got several copies? Me too. Me and Mark probably got 150 together. I mean, I got so many copies of the scripture. Boy, I've heard about people in so many other countries where having that book is illegal. And it's such a big deal that they don't. When they get a Bible, they tear it up. They don't tear it up because they don't believe it. They tear the little pages out so they can fold them up real small and hide them. And they disperse them. Like if it's a church in China, they take the book of Philippians and take those pages out and they give it to this one brother or sister and they read it for a few weeks. And then they turn it over to another brother or sister. They don't all have a Bible. They're so precious. Just those little pages. Can I trade you? Can I have some of the Gospel of Matthew this week? And they swap those little pages of the Bible around. Oh, I got so many of them at home. God, the Jewish people, when they take the Torah scrolls out of the cabinet, you probably think I'm crazy, but when they take the Torah scrolls out of the cabinet, they take them out of the Torah and they kiss them. I do it with my Bible all the time. I say, oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for this book. I don't preach out of fancy Bibles. I have a couple of nice leather-bound Bibles. I usually preach out of my cheap ones, my little paperbacks, and I do it on purpose. I can take a Bible that I bought at half-price book for $4 or $5, and I can tell somebody the words of eternal life. They can be saved and miss hell and come to Jesus Christ and go to heaven and walk on golden streets with a Bible I got for $4 or $5. Oh, it's the treasure in the field. Amen? Amen. The Bible says, in another verse in Matthew 13, Jesus said, it's when Jesus began to open his mouth. It says, verse 13, 35, and so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. When Jesus opened his mouth and spoke, the parables that we read, oh, those words, the world had never heard words like that. And I think I'm just so thankful. I personally, boy, I'm nothing special. I'm just this little awkward, shy, very introverted, quirky little guy. For whatever reason, my wife thinks I look good, but no, not many other people did. And I'm so thankful that I got a book that taught me all about marriage, taught me all about how to have a wonderful wife and a wonderful marriage. And I'm so thankful I picked this girl out. I'm thankful I was patient and waited for the right one, for the one God would send me. And the reason I'm saying all this, King David once said, I know more than all of my teachers because of your word. I don't think I'm anything special. I don't think I know more than Dr. Phil. I just know because of this book how to have a happy marriage. That's right. I'm thankful for that. I tell you what, I get up in the morning and we've been married 24 years. We're coming up on 25 in next year, March. And I'm so thankful to have that happy marriage. And we get along great. Our marriage was made in heaven and we just treasure each other. And the reason I'm so thankful for that is because I would have, if I would have just did what I was going to do, oh brother, before I knew Jesus and before I knew God's word, it would have been a disaster. But I'm thankful that I got a book that teaches me those kinds of things. When Jesus opened his mouth, he uttered things hidden since the creation of the world. Oh, there's amazing stuff in that book. Amen. But how to have a marriage, how to have to do your finances, just how to have God's joy. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I can't get ahead of myself. But seeing Jesus in his kingdom as the most valued treasure there could ever be, every day of your life, seeing the treasure in Jesus and the treasure in the things of God, the treasure that it is. You know, so many times when I've been on college campuses preaching open air, sometimes the kids are just, they're just amazed, and they just say, "You Christians, you just, nobody else comes out here and does this. What is it? Why are you so passionate about Jesus?" Well, I'll give you all the answer to that tonight. I found the treasure in the field. And I want them to have the treasure in the field. I want them to know Jesus. And I praise God there's been fruit. I don't know if I ever told this story, but at the end of the day, we usually we preach all day. And sometimes it goes 4, 5, 6 hours. And we don't have the same kids out there the whole time. But if it's a good day, we'll have 100 kids out there for 5, 6 hours hearing and asking questions. And we get to the end of the day, we just make a little circle. And we just say, okay, this is a public place. We're here in this free speech area on this quad here at University of Madison at Wisconsin or Chapel Hill. And yeah, it's a big public place, but we're just going to hold hands here and we're going to pray. Maybe we'll sing Amazing Grace. But just in a public way, for the first time in your life, are you willing to identify with the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and say, I'm not ashamed to say, I want to know more about this Jesus person. And I remember it was Chapel Hill, right? I think it was Chapel Hill. And we got the little circle. And this girl said, can I be in this circle? He said, yeah, why not? Well, I'm Jewish. Well, I said, well, so is Jesus. Get in the circle. I forgot why I told that. But anyway, oh, I know why. On college campuses, the kids are saying, why are you so passionate about this thing? And I tell them a lot of times, we explain, ultimately it comes down to this. To understand worship. Why do Christians worship? Why do people worship? Worship is your expression. Worship is your acknowledgement. Worship is your acknowledgement of acknowledging the value of that of ultimate worth. That's what worship really comes down to. You have found the thing of ultimate worth. And you just acknowledge that in all sorts of ways, in your giving, in your singing, in your reading your Bible. Jewish people, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Jewish people believe that to study the Word of God is to worship with your mind. And it's to acknowledge and to find and recognize the thing of ultimate value and then arrange your life around that truth that you found the thing of ultimate value. And that's really what it comes down to. When you find Jesus, you find the thing of ultimate value. Amen. And I remember early on when I first got saved, just a few miles from here, Crestmont Baptist Church, and had a really good youth pastor. And we did all the traditional things. We ate a lot of pizza and had fun and had public meetings. But one of the things he did, his name is Rick Eubanks, and he's kind of a legend in this town. He started See You at the Pole and things like that. And one of the things Rick did, he just sat me down at his kitchen table, called it discipleship, and just once a week sat me down at his kitchen table and began to teach me the Bible, began to teach me what the kingdom of God is like. And I'm so thankful that he did that. I remember one of the illustrations he used, kind of a classic old Campus Crusade for Christ thing, but he had a circle, and then he had a little picture with a throne, a little chair. And then the question was, who's on the throne of your life? Who's on the throne of your life? And boy, that really made sense to me. And I wanted Jesus to be on the throne of my life because I had found the one of ultimate value. Nothing I could want, nothing I could do, nothing I could ever exchange for that. He's worth more than all of it put together. Amen. So this man found the treasure. So I want to talk about that concept here. Finding the treasure. Have to admit, it's a little bit hidden. It's a little bit hidden, isn't it? People don't just walk over, trip over the kingdom of God. It's not just kind of laying out there on the surface. It's a little hidden. What is that? That's strange. But I think I'll offer some thoughts on that. But the Bible says that this man found the treasure. And first you have to find the treasure. I'm not saying that God is playing hide and go seek with the treasure. But I am saying you do have to look a little bit. You have to be a person of depth. Can I say it that way? If you're just shallow, you won't care anything about the kingdom of God. But there's got to be something inside of you that says, God, I want you. God, I want to know my Creator and the kingdom of God. And it's interesting. 2 Corinthians 4 says, 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7 says, even if our gospel, I'm reading out of the NIV tonight, it says, even if our gospel is veiled, the King James says hid, even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as His servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made His light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, earthen vessels, the King James says, to show that all this surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's interesting. This tells us exactly who hides the gospel, doesn't it, from people? Why they can't see the gospel? Because the God of this world has blinded them. They can't see. But what's the answer to that? If the gospel's hidden to them, what's the answer to that? The answer is, it's very interesting. The Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. The hope of heaven is that you got Jesus in you and that you let people see Jesus in your life. And when people see your life, I used to work at a grocery store. I remember this lady said to me, and I remember this, I've told this story. I've told all of my stories here before. I have to be careful, but you guys hear me on a regular basis. But I remember there was this man, he used to make fun of me. He called me Billy Graham. He was one of the managers. He called me Billy Graham thinking that was an insult. I was cool with it. Not a bad guy to be called, but he called me Billy Graham. He always used to make fun of me all the time for being a Christian. I remember one day he pushed me into the corner behind the milk vault where no one else could see. And he said, preacher, I got to have surgery tomorrow on my back. Could you please pray for me right now? We have a treasure in us. Amen. And even the man who was teasing me and making fun, he saw that treasure, didn't he? He thought, I remember he didn't say a surgery. He said, I got to go under the knife and I'm real scared. Now all of a sudden he wanted Billy Graham to pray for him. Because we have a treasure in our earthen vessels, and the world should see that treasure. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, he said it's our job to make it plain to everyone. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Preach to every creature. In other words, our job is to tell the world about the treasure, amen. To invite, you say, well, I'm not very good at that. Well, invite them to church. Mark's real good at it. Invite them to church. Let him tell them about the treasure. All you got to do is get them in the door. That's how I got saved. A girl invited me to church. Woo, big miracle it was. Totally changed my life. But our gospel is hidden to people, but it's our job to share the treasure. Jesus said no one lights a lamp and then hides it under a bushel. It's our job to share the treasure. But let's just talk a little bit more about the hidden part of it. I've been reading out of NIV tonight. I'm going to read a verse out of the New Living Translation. Luke 10, verse 21. This is a really interesting verse. It says, at that time, Jesus was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And he said, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it that way. Jesus said, the kingdom of God, you receive it like a little child, Jesus said. You don't have to be a brainiac. You don't have to be super smart. You don't have to have an IQ off the scale to receive the kingdom of God and to know and to find the treasure. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, little children will find it. Just like hunting Easter eggs, little children, go after them. It's interesting, though, how Jesus said, Father, I rejoice that you hide this, that you've hidden these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. Why is that? Why is that? Well, I have a theory, and this is my theory. You know, I think to get saved and to come into the kingdom of God is not a matter of how smart you are. Because if it was a matter of you had to be super smart to get that, can you imagine the pride trip people would be on? In other words, I speak on college campuses and debate professors, and so I just understand, as soon as you get a little knowledge in your head, the Bible says, puffs you up. And what it really comes down to is it makes you think you're a lot smarter than you really are. It's a sad thing. But I think that's why entering the kingdom has nothing to do with how smart you are. Because just as sure as God, if that were in any way part of the criteria, people would be so arrogant about, oh, look at me, I'm in the kingdom because I'm smart. That's not it. Amen. Jesus said you enter the kingdom like a little child. Hallelujah. So that's reasons why it's hidden. You know, I think about you could get a full ride scholarship to the finest Ivy League school in America and not find the treasure. Matter of fact, probably less chance there than anywhere. Because they hide the gospel there. Literally, this is a true story. Rollins Chapel at Dartmouth University, Ivy League school, Rollins Chapel, which was founded as a seminary to train ministers. Rollins Chapel was in continuous use for 40 years, and all the windows were boarded up on that campus. Why? Because they had pictures and scenes from the Bible, and they just thought, oh, we can't let people see that. We don't want people to see all that. We don't want people to think we're stupid, numbskull, dumb Christians. And so they boarded up the windows to Rollins Chapel for 40 years so people couldn't see John the Baptist or pictures of Jesus. Now, I think since then they've had some artsy groups who said, just for the beauty, we need to let those windows be shown. I don't know where they exactly are in that thing now, but for 40 years they boarded them up. They tried to hide the gospel. But you know, people make a lot of theological wonders about how, you know, this gospel's hidden, but people find it, and how come some people find it and get close to God? And to me, that's not a great theological mystery at all. I think the Bible's very cut and dried about that. James 4:6 says, God opposes who? The proud. And he gives grace to the humble. If you just humble yourself before God, he will reveal things to you. Amen? I tell you what, so many times I pray, I say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know this thing. God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know how to, this particular thing, Lord, I don't know. Please help me. And he's just so gracious. He does. That is just pray that way. Sometimes I got a lot of troubles and I just pray from the Psalms. Lord, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. I can't pray anything deeper than that right now, God. Just help. Deliver me from these troubles. Just humble yourself and God will reveal the things of the kingdom to you. But I want to come to the last point tonight. You have to find the treasure. And then I think this is a big one. You got to recognize the treasure. You got to recognize the treasure when you find it. Lots of people don't do that. They don't recognize the treasure of the kingdom of God. And it's interesting because the Bible says, it says, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had. In other words, he somehow perceived, boy, to get that treasure, I got to give everything else up. But he recognized the value of the treasure to the point where he said, I'll give it all up. I'll give up anything I have to get hold of that. I've probably said this before. I remember one time I'm witnessing to this guy. This was a few years ago. And I'm witnessing to this guy. And he says, well, I can't get saved. I said, well, why not? He said, well, I'd have to quit watching Van Damme movies. And I thought, what does that have to do with this conversation? But somehow he perceived that if he got right with God, he couldn't see those movies anymore. And you know, that's how a ton of people think. Oh, I can never serve God. Look at all that. I'd have to give up this. I'd have to give up that. Oh, you Christians, you can't have any fun. And your life is so boring. And look at all the stuff you miss. They haven't recognized the treasure. The value of the treasure is worth. Can you imagine? I hope that young man thought better of it and got on his knees and got saved. But can you imagine missing the golden streets of heaven and walking with Jesus Christ, the Son of God in white, and seeing that beautiful face because you didn't, you thought you couldn't still see a Van Damme karate movie? That's a real poor trade out. But people do that kind of stuff every day. They don't recognize the value of the treasure, do they? But here's what I wanted to point out. This fella who found the treasure and decided he had to sell everything he had to buy that field to get the treasure, it wasn't a drudgery to him. The process was not gloom. The process was not hardship. In other words, he saw the value of the treasure so much so that the Bible says, in his joy, he sold everything he had. It was like, oh, get rid of this. Get rid of that. Oh, just get rid of it all because I want the treasure. He saw the value of the treasure. And so letting go of whatever things seemed to be a hindrance to him was not an issue at all for him. And there are issues. There is a cost to following Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, verse 33, Jesus said, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. That's pretty steep, isn't it? Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? All you got to do is give up everything else. Wait a minute. I don't want to pay that price. Remember the rich young ruler? He went away sad. Because he didn't, at that moment, some people say later he did get saved. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he didn't see the value of the treasure at that moment. And he went away sad. But in your joy, you see the value of Jesus. Now I just want to close with just a few of the treasures we have in the kingdom of God that maybe sometimes we take for granted. I mean, just start with, I'm not going to do all the fruit of the Spirit, but just the first three are pretty awesome. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Talk about value. Love. People just crave love. The things people will do just to feel accepted and loved. And yet, I have a Heavenly Father, the King of the whole universe, and He loves me. Just that love, that's all the treasure we need right there, is to know we're loved by our Father. I could spend all my time on love, but I'm going to go on because it's just such a wonderful one. But I'm just going to, joy! One time I taught a 6-week series on joy! Now listen, I'm going to give you all a hard Bible verse. It's one of those hard Bible verses. You may want to really think hard if you want to obey this one or not. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. How hard is that? That's like, oh, I don't know, God, if I want to be joyful all the time. Wait a minute. Be joyful always? Thank you, God. That's a wonderful thing. And it says, this is the will of God for you, to be joyful always. Do you have joy? Now, I'm getting a little old. I don't know. When I'm up here worshiping, y'all may think, man, he don't do it right. The rest of the team is up here jumping up and down, and he's just kind of moving, but he's not getting off the ground, and I'm just getting a little older than I once was, and I'm kind of high mileage, and I played hockey, and I've had 2 knee surgeries, so I just can't jump anymore. But I still got joy in my heart, and so I have to move around. But I love the scripture that says, you will dance, you will skip about for joy like calves let from the stall. You ever seen a little baby calf just romp across a pasture? That's the kind of joy we can have. No, I do jump when I preach. That's the kind of joy we can have in our heart. We skip for joy like cat. I'm a 52-year-old man who played hockey, and I'm not less than a man. I'm not ashamed about my manhood, but I'm going to tell you this. I can skip. Boy, I tell you, praise God with joy. I'm not ashamed to skip, and I want to skip like a calf let out from the stall. Joy's a wonderful thing. My friend Gary Malloy sitting back there with his wife Donna. Gary and I used to go eat. We were bachelors back then. We didn't have our good wives. And we'd go all over town and eat out all the time. We had such joy. We told our waitresses about Jesus all over town because they would always say, you guys are so happy. You guys are just crazy happy. What was that? We got joy. Do you realize everybody don't have that? You were the one talking about, weren't you the one talking about how many people are on depression medicine in America? Huge figure. I don't need Prozac. I got the joy of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that treasure. Okay, I'm getting carried away with joy. I did a six-week series on it, but we're not doing all 6 weeks tonight. Joy is a wonderful thing to have in your heart. Peace. Harrison Ford's got all that money from making all those movies, but he ain't got peace, he said. I got peace. What a wonderful thing to have. Thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Spirit. Forgiveness, I've already talked about how wonderful it is to be forgiven. How about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Oh, you're not alone no matter where you go. All day, every day, you got the Holy Spirit with you to be your friend. Jesus said, you can have the love of the Father. He said, you can have the love of the Father. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Oh, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is such a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But here's one more thing I want to include. I'm just thankful to have eternal life. I've already said tonight I'm 52. I know some of you are older and you think that's not very old. Some of you are young and you think, whoa, that guy's old. But I'm going to tell you what it feels like to be 52. I got saved when I was 17, just a couple months before my 18th birthday. And I'm going to tell you what it feels like from when I got saved at 17 till now. Boom, just an eye blink. It has gone by so fast. Let's be real, folks. My life is getting toward the end of the part of it. I'm 52. I'm getting towards the last chapters here. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. Because I've got this wonderful thing called what? Eternal life. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. So what do I care if I'm 52 now and maybe I'm going to die when I'm 70 or 80 or who knows? I don't know, but I know this. I'm going to live forever. So it's a treasure to not be like sweating it because, oh my gosh, I'm almost dead. Now, I did used to always say, I don't care about getting old. We're just that much closer to seeing Jesus. But now that I'm getting up there, it's like, wait a minute. I didn't know about all the aches and pains and all that junk. But even still, I got eternal life. I'm going to live forever. What a blessing. Don't take that for granted. If you're saved, you've already started eternal life. You're going to live forever. I tell you, the reason I say all this is, the way my life has flown by so fast, I can't imagine how scary and frustrating that would be if I didn't have eternal life. Have you ever tried to cup water in your hands? What if you had to walk across a desert and they just put water in your hands and said, that's all you can have, what you've got cupped in your hands. Man, you can't keep water cupped in your hands. You try, but it just drips through. I did it in front of a mirror yesterday just to see what it looked like. Water's just going out. And that's how your life is. It's just going. It's just like trying to cut. It's just going. But I'm not worried about it because I got eternal life. It's a treasure in the field. I'm going to close with one last verse. Colossians. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. This is my prayer for you as I close tonight. It's my prayer for this church, my prayer for Mark and Carmen and everybody that labors at this place and everybody that attends here. Everybody that serves the Lord Jesus here in the kingdom of God, this is my prayer for you too. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in this wonderful person named Jesus. And I just give you that encouragement tonight. I'm just going to turn it back over to you now, Mark, and let you close however God leads you. But I'll just hang out here afterwards and be happy to pray for any of you about any needs you may have. But Let the joy of the Lord be in your heart and be thankful for the treasure we have in the kingdom of God. Bless you.